Alhamdulillah wahda wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wala ummata ba'da ummatihi wala syariata ba'da syariatihi wala kitaba ba'da kitabihi wala sunnata ba'da sunnatihi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim minasy syaithanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim al-hajju ashhurun ma'lumat faman farada fihinnal hajja fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil hajj وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Salat and salam upon our master, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only with the kindness of Allah Rabbul Izzat that Allah Pak has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it wasn't very long ago that we had just experienced the beautiful month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadah. And may Allah give us the strength and the courage to continue in the way that we did. And if not just continue, but to better our ways as we were in the month of Ramadan, that we only progress in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we enter into the season of Hajj, this is a very special season in the life of a believer. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very good time to make dua. On the day of Friday, duas are accepted. It's the congregation of Jumu'ah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those who have performed Hajj, Allah grant us Hajj Maqbool Mabroor. Those who are going this year, Allah give them Hajj Maqbool Mabroor. Those who haven't been, Allah take them quickly. Allah make it easy for every person. Actually, what I want to discuss a bit today is this auspicious journey of Hajj in the life of a Muslim. And to take some great lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to Hajj. Just let's backtrack a bit and just go back and just break the whole journey down. If we take the Baytullah, the Kaaba, there's a very special attraction to every believer in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember, the foundation of this was the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. I don't think we can speak about Hajj or Qurbani and we don't make mention with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his family, their sacrifice. By virtue of example, the sacrifice is so great as a family, as a complete family unit. His wife, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was looking for water for her child, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, then she ran from Mount Safa to Marwa. She ran from Safa to Marwa. I'll just ponder of this a little bit. Her running from Safa to Marwa, and we know it's not the Safa and Marwa of today, where the beautiful layout of the masjid and it's no more the mountains, rocky mountains. It's such an easy journey it is for us today. But her sacrifice and her running from the Mount of Safa to Mount Marwa was so beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever will visit Makkatul Mukarramah to make Hajj, to make Umrah, his journey will be incomplete. That he will have to, whatever his portfolio is in society, be he a minister, be he an alim, be he whatever his position may be, to this extent, even if he is the Nabi of Allah, he will have to go and he will have to perform the very same action that the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. So this family was an accepted family in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just to backtrack, in our own lives, and I'm sure every one of us can identify with this, if a person has to go back in his own life to the very first time that his eyes looked at the Baytullah, that very first occasion in his life, for some it may have been many years back where travel wasn't so easy. And rest assured, whenever you speak to any person about his journey to the Baytullah, then one thing which is absolutely unique is that every person feels that there's no person who could have had a better experience than me. And every person, if you have to ask him, like I said, many probably did it years back when travel wasn't so easy. You had to go in the ship and it was months on end. And we know commonly in South Africa, when we speak to our elderly people, they will tell you that our journey started from before Ramadan. We would go before Ramadan and we would stay 4 months or 5 months, whatever it was. And probably there was no first class travel and there was no business class travel and there was no lounges like we have today in the airports, whatever it is. But if you have to ask a person, are you prepared to do it all over again just for that moment, for that connection that you felt with Allah when you looked at the Kaaba for the first time? Rest assured, every person will say, I'm ready to do it all over again. Because it's such a moment, it's such a special moment in the life of a believer, that first opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him when he looks at the Baytullah. Even today we see the Haram itself is so beautiful, it's spectacular, without a shadow of doubt. But still, nothing can take your attention away from the Baytullah. When you are in the Haram of Makkatul Mukarramah and you look at the Kaaba, just the mere sight of the Kaaba, and we know it's ibadah, the person gets 20 rewards just for looking at the Kaaba. But just the mere sight of the Baytullah, it increases one's love. And a person wants to look, and you want to look even more. And many a times, I spoke to many people, they had this experience as well. But as I say, everybody's experience is different. Probably when you go for the first time, so the muallim will tell you, right, look down. Nobody look up now. We want to get that first gaze. But quietly, you're trying to sneak a peek. Can I just get a look? Can I get a gaze before I get to that actual Baytullah to see it? So there's a special attraction and there's a special relationship with the believer and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this opportunity and we visit the Baytullah over and over again. So this auspicious occasion of Hajj in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made one Hajj. But we're going to go back to the days of Makkah and just a few lessons to understand the relationship that we have with this great journey of Hajj. And we can say very safely that it was because of Hajj and certain events that took place during the era of the first 13 years of Nubuwwah that we directly can say that that is a reason why we are here today. I'll give you two examples and you will understand it a bit better. And in these examples are great lessons for us to take to better our own lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving dawah. He was inviting the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. And it was a very, very great challenge. One narrator says that we would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to the people. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِيُوا. People say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you'll be successful. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَّهُ التُّرَابُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّهُ. People would swear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some would spit at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others would have the courage and pick up sand and stone and throw it at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own uncle, Abu Lahab, would go to the people when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would invite them and he would say, don't listen to this person, he's an imposter. A'udhu billahi, they would say he's a liar. And different accusations they would lay at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is absolutely amazing is all of this didn't deter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the different tribes would come for the Hajj, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to them and he would invite them. And this was a good opportunity that hopefully if the people of Makkah are not prepared to take the message, then maybe somebody from out of Makkah will take the message. So there was one particular tribe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to called the Banu Abs tribe. But there's something which is important here. One of the narrations mentioned, one of the tribes when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them, you must know it was the first year, then the second year, and the third year, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to them. So around the 11th year or 12th year, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to one particular tribe, the people of the tribe addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, why do you keep coming back to us? Every year you come, every year you give us the same story, and we give you the same answer, we're not interested. Why do you keep coming back? So you can imagine any human being, any person who goes through this type of abuse, what the heart must be feeling like. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the softest of hearts, yet the most kindest of hearts. Can you only imagine what must have been the pain in the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nevertheless, he comes across one tribe, the Banu Abs tribe. So when he addresses this tribe, the leaders of the tribe again, they listen and they say, look, we're not interested. However, there was one person there by the name of Maysara bin Masruq. He was a youngster. So he said to his people, he said, listen, I think we should give this person, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should give him a chance. I think and I see that this person is going to be such a person, he's going to influence the entire world. And I think many people are going to take great benefit from him. We shouldn't lose out on this opportunity. Actually, we should invite him to come back with us. And we should allow him to establish himself in our area. And we should give him help, aid and assistance. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that there's one person ready to give him some sort of hearing, he went back to Maysara. He said, Maysara, if you allow me, I'd like to speak to you. So he said, please, by all means, speak to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Quran. He recited the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. So when this Maysara heard the Quran, he was moved. He never heard anything more beautiful than this in his life. He was taken aback. And he said, Ma ahsana kalamak wa anwara. He said, I never heard a more beautiful speech than this. And I've never heard a more enlightening speech than this. Please tell me more. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited him. So again Maysara went back to his people. And now his people, they rebuked him. And he said, listen, we told you, stay away from this person, don't get involved with him, etc. Khair. As they leave, this happened in Mina. Just keep this in mind. Mina is a place which has great significance for us during the Hajj. So this took place in an area near Masjid-e-Khayf in Mina. So as they en route back to their tribe, this youngster again says to them, he says, listen, we are near a place called Fidak. There's Jewish scholars there. Let's go to them. Let's engage them. Let's take the opinion and ask them, what do they think about the situation? So they said, fine. So they come to Fidak. They see the scholars. They approach the scholars. The narration says that they open a book and the scholars start describing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say to them, you met a person who was Arab, he was unlettered, he wasn't too tall, neither was he too short, very beautiful, very handsome. They describe the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they describe the beautiful hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say that his hair wasn't too straight, neither was it too curly. They speak about the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say it was fair, with a bit of a reddish tone, and they go on like this. And then they stop. And they say to this tribe, they say, listen, if this is the person that you met, if this is the person that you met, then it's our advice to you, go back and accept his message. Because this is indeed the Nabi of Allah. And we only not accepting his message because we are jealous of him. Then why did Nubuwwat come in his progeny and not in our progeny? And one more thing we will tell you, that the entire Arab world, there'll be two groups. There will be those that will join him and there will be those that will oppose him. So our advice to you is go back and accept his message. So Maysara says to his people again, he says, listen, we've heard it now, let's go back. So they say, okay, listen, what we'll do, we'll go next year. Don't go back now, we'll go next year. When the next year comes, then the people of the locality and the leaders of the tribe, they ban Hajj and they say, right, nobody's allowed to go to Makkah this year. And it continued and it carried on in that way. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes hijrat. He goes to Madinah, Munawwara, Badr, Uhud and whatever have you takes place. And now in the last year of the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam comes to make Hajj. His only Hajj and he comes for Hajj. So when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes for the Hajj, then he meets with Maysara, with this youngster. So this youngster, Maysara, is no more young, he's a little bit older. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi of Allah, do you recognize me? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, most certainly I recognize you. You are so and so. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this dream as well, that when nobody was prepared to give me a hearing, you gave me a hearing. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, there were many people who were with me. And he relates his incident. He says, many of them have passed away. Actually, I'm the only one that is left. What is their condition? What is their condition? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very politely explains to him. He says, the system of Allah is, whoever passes away in a condition that he doesn't believe in Allah and he doesn't accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and final Nabi, unfortunately for him, everlasting doom for him is the fire of Jahannam. So Maysara says, Alhamdulillah, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given me the opportunity to recite the Shahada. He takes the Shahada. He becomes a Muslim, and the narration says he becomes a valuable asset to Islam. And he becomes a person who, even in the reign of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave great help and assistance to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one incident. We have it in front of us. This is the Banu Abs tribe. They chose to procrastinate. Like us in life, many a times when a good thing comes our way, then we ponder, should we, shouldn't we? This is why the ulama say, they say that from the hadith of Rasulullah SAW we learn that when it's good to be done, hasten towards it. Quran teaches us that as well. سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ سَابِقُوا سَارِعُوا Hasten, compete when it comes to good. Never regard any good as insignificant. وَلُوَنْ تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ تَلْقُوا كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ Rasulullah SAW said, even if it means meeting your Muslim brother with a smiling face, don't regard that good deed as insignificant as well. Become greedy for good, any good, wherever we can be a means of benefit, wherever we can be a means of uplifting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should be in the forefront. So this was the example of the Banu Abs tribe. This happened in Mina. Now there's another example. The example of the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. And this is the point that I'm going to, and this is where we should take our life in this direction. That we follow and we become like the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. It is Mina, it is the 11th year of Nubuwat, and again, like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go to the Banu Abs tribe, he would go to the different tribes. There were six youngsters, six youth from the Aus and the Khazraj tribe. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to them, he's on his conveyance, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks them permission. This happens also in Mina, this is near a place called Aqaba. And Rasulullah SAW takes their permission. He says, listen, I would like to speak to you people. I would like to enlighten you. I would like to tell you about Islam. So they give permission. They say, oh, no problem. They say, okay, no problem. Sit down. Let's hear what you have to say. Sa'd, As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sa'd bin Rabi, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nu'man bin Harith, Abu al-Haytham bin Tayhan radiallahu ta'ala. These were the six people. They heard and they basically opened their doors. They gave the platform to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a very interesting incident. And I just want to mention one point here, which is very, very pertinent to our discussion as well. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates this hadith. And when he narrates this, it's a very lengthy narration. In the beginning of the narration, he makes a very, very valuable and a very pertinent point. He says that we should value and we should honor the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. He gives certain reasons. He says that they were very special and unique in many ways. They were such that they were in the forefront when it came to their sword. They were in the forefront when it came to their tongue. And they were in the forefront when it came to their wealth. That they were such, whatever Allah Ta'ala had given them, they had used it for the upliftment of deen. And they were always in the forefront to help, aid and assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here you had the example of the Banu Abs. Now see the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. And we all know our love that we have for Madina Munawwara. Every Muslim yearns to stand in front of the Rawdha-e Aqdas and send his salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the desire of every believer. This is the beginning of Madina Munawwara. So these youngsters, six of them, they invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they have a discussion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads to them from the 13th juz of Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ رَبِّ إِنَّا أُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ That entire ruku we can say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the Quran to them, and they are moved. They, just like how Maysara bin Masruq was speechless when he heard Quran, they also were speechless. Brothers, we have Quran with us. Never underestimate the value of tilawat of Quran. Quran is nur. Every letter of Quran is nur. Every harkat of Quran is nur. There's nothing that will uplift us more. There's nothing that will illuminate us more. There's nothing that will create a passion and a desire to be close to Allah in our, you know, to get that closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that can do it better than recitation of Quran. To read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people heard. They never even read. They just heard the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were moved. There were just six of them, and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we bring iman on you. They took the shahada, and they went one step further. They said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are prepared to take you back with us. You come with us to Madina Munawwara, and we will make Madina Munawwara, we will give you the protection that you enjoy, the protection that you need. You come with us, and we will give you a place to stay, and from there you can make that your base, and Islam can spread from there. So Rasulullah says to them, no problem, just wait, let's see. And just to give you a bit of a history of that, in the 11th year, there were six of them. In the 12th year, 12 of them came. And in the 13th year, 70 of them came. And eventually that is the road that was paved the way for Rasulullah to make hijrah to Medina Munawwara. But there's an interesting incident when Ali radiallahu anhu said, I was explaining the beginning of the narration, he said that value and honor the Ansar. Why? Their wealth, their tongue, their sword, everything was put for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said a very great statement. He said, whoever doesn't value and honor and have love for the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, it's not possible that that person can have iman in his heart. Whoever doesn't have honor, value, and, you know, awe and honor and look after and have that worry and concern for the Ansar, he can't be a believer because their contribution to deen was so great. So khair, while this discussion was taking place, just so that we can understand the sentiments of the people of Medina Munawwara, what is the very basis and the foundation of the people of Medina Munawwara? While this discussion was taking place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's uncle, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he passed by. So when Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala passed by, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "O Abbas, here are the people, oh my uncle, here are the people of Medina Munawwara. They are from the Aws and the Khazraj tribe, and this is the offer that they have made. They are offering to take me back to Medina Munawwara, and they are saying that they will look after me, they will protect me, they will give me protection, etc." So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, naturally, being the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is amongst those uncles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam that brought Iman. He got off his conveyance and he engaged the Aws and the Khazraj. He said to them, "Listen, there's nobody more beloved to me in my life than my uncle Muhammad, than my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you people are serious and you really want to take him, then give me an undertaking. Give me a promise that you are not going to be deceitful, you're not going to harm him, that this just may be a ploy. You're saying you're going to take him and you're saying you're going to give him protection, but actually you mean something else." Now the Aws and the Khazraj, they took offense to this, naturally, because they were sincere in their ways. And Hazrat Abbas was also sincere. Both parties were sincere. He was worried about the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet they were saying, "We're ready to give our life and our home, etc., whatever it is." So the respect and honor that they showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was manifest from the very first meeting that they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why when you study the lives of the Ansar, Allah speaks of them in Quran as well. Allah Ta'ala speaks about their noble qualities. You find that they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the leader, Asad bin Zurara, he takes permission. He says, "O Nabi of Allah, I would like to take your permission to answer and give a reply. And I give you reassurance, this is your uncle and I know there's a relationship. I will reply in such a way that I will not cause any harm to him. I will not disgrace him. And neither will my reply cause any harm to you. If you give permission, then I will reply to him." Allahu Akbar, their akhlaq, their character, their ways, their mannerisms, right off the top. Perfect for any nation who will mold their life on the life of the Ansar. They will take great benefit. Khair. So Nabi Sallam gives permission and he starts to address Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But in his address to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, in life, it's a very lengthy thing, I'm just going to break it down for you very quickly, but a great lesson to be learned. He says, in life, there's always two paths. There's the easy way and there's the difficult way. He says, but we have chosen here a very difficult path. Because we're going to go back to our people and we're going to tell them that we are believing in you. You must remember, news had traveled, news reached that there is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and there's the Quraysh that's opposing him, etc. So our people are probably not going to accept the decision that we are making, but we have taken this path. But we want to give you this reassurance, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we, the Ansar, we will protect you better than we will protect our own family. We will protect you better than we will protect our own family. We will protect your life better than we will protect our own life. And we will protect your blood better than we will protect the blood of our own children. And they continue in this way and they give reassurance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they end with a statement. And they say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that your life is more valuable to us than our own life. Your blood is more valuable to us than the blood of our own family. So we give you an undertaking. You give us the command, and whatever is your command, that is what we will follow. And that is the way that was paved. And this is how the Ansar had accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they went back, the six of them. They prepared 12, another six, and 12 came the next year. And then they went back, and then 70 came. And in this way, they invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam establishes a deen in Medina Munawwara, and the whole world becomes, Medina Munawwara spreads its light to the entire world. When Rasulullah ﷺ conquered Makkatul Mukarrama in the 8th year of the Hijri, then the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, after Makkah had been conquered, and you can imagine the jubilation and the happiness. Actually, that is another whole discussion on its own, the manner in which Rasulullah ﷺ conquered Makkatul Mukarrama. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed, he noticed that the Ansar, they had moved towards one place, and there was dejection on their faces. Everybody else was very, very happy. Everybody was elated. But the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, they were very dejected, they were very sad, they were very worried. So Rasulullah sallallahu went to engage with them. He went to speak to them. So he said, "Oh my Ansar, I noticed that there's something that is..." Now remember, they went through this difficulty. Nabi Sassum had to leave Makkah Mukarrama, Badr, Uhud, and all the different challenges that they faced against the Kuffar of Makkah. All those challenges, you can say that the Kuffar of Makkah at every point had some hand in it. And yeah, Makkah is now conquered, and they saw with their eyes the manner in which Rasulullah Sassum conquered Makkah, that he had a special affection for the people of Makkah. They were his family after all. Nabi Sassum forgave everybody, general amnesty was given, and there was a lot of happiness at that particular moment and the juncture for the believers as well, because now the different tribes were freely coming into Islam, etc. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi picked up that something is not correct with the Ansar, so he engaged them. They said, "O Nabi of Allah, we have one concern and one concern only. We have one single worry and one single concern. Nothing else. Nothing with regards to booty, nothing with regards to wealth, no. Is it now that you're going to leave Medina and come back and stay in Makkah? That's our only worry and our only concern. If that is the case, we won't be able to handle it." Nabi Sassum smiles. He gives them reassurance. He says, "Oh my Ansar, wherever the Ansar will be, that is where you will find Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whichever valley you will find the Ansar in, you will find the Ansar in, you will find Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that valley. Don't worry." He gives them reassurance, and he goes back to them, and he goes and he tells them, "Don't worry, you will most certainly find me with you in Medina Munawwara. My qabr will be made in Medina Munawwara." So we find that this journey of Hajj and the lessons to be taken, the lesson that we can take from today's discussion and these two beautiful incidents that we heard from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is few things. One is that we don't procrastinate. Any opportunity to do good, we should be in the forefront. This was the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. Whenever the opportunity arose, whenever there was a chance to do good, they never held back. They were in the forefront. And the determination of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two fundamental points. That a believer is determined, he's dedicated. How many tribes turned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away? How many bad and harsh words were said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But he was determined. And end on one incident of the Ansar. Like I said, if we study, and I'm not saying that we don't follow the Muhajir, of course we do, but some great lessons from the life of the Ansar. I'll end on this particular incident. Once they came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had a problem with the irrigation system. They had a problem, their plants and their crops were not getting irrigated properly. So they said, "Listen, we need to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to address this issue with him." So as they were approaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi stood up. And he said, "Marhaban bil Ansar, marhaban bil Ansar, marhaban, welcome O Ansar, welcome O Ansar of Medina Munawwara." And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a statement. He said that today whatever the Ansar are going to ask for, I'm going to give it to them. And whatever their request is, I'm going to make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala must fulfill their request. The leader of the Ansar, Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala, he stopped them in their tracks. He said, "Stop." He said, "Hold on. Listen to what Rasulullah ﷺ said. What an offer is on the table. We can't waste it with an irrigation system. Let us think carefully." They were very intelligent people. "Let us think very carefully what an offer Nabi ﷺ has put on them. Whatever we ask, we're going to get it. And whatever is our need that we put forward to Rasulullah, not only is he going to give it to us, he's going to make dua to Allah as well on our behalf. This is an opportunity, we can never allow it to go amiss. We can never allow this to slip. And what do they ask for? What is the request of these great giants of Islam? They say, O Nabi of Allah, our request is that you ask Allah to forgive the Ansar. Rasulullah lifts up his hands. Allahumma ghfir lil Ansar, wa li abna'i al Ansar, wa li abna'i al Ansar, wa li jirani al Ansar. What intelligence, what an opportunity, that if your maghfirat is made by Allah from the tongue of the Nabi Sallam, was the one who made the request, he is the one who made the dua. What intelligence was did the Ansar of Madinah Munawwarah have? That they never, when the opportunity came, they never let it slip. Like I said, there was a chance to take Nabi Sallam, they took him. Here was the chance, whatever they wanted, they said, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah forgives us. Nabi Sallam made dua that Allah forgive the Ansar, forgive the children of Ansar, forgive the neighbors of the Ansar. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again, that Allah ta'ala give us the opportunity to go over and over to Baytullah, and that Allah ta'ala instill within our hearts the love for deen, the love for tilawat of Quran, and that Allah give us this in our life, that whenever there is an opportunity to do good, we are always in the forefront. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.